you. I wonder what schemes your parents or carers used to employ when you were going on long journeys to keep you occupied, to keep you quiet, in other words, not causing any problems. We used to go on holiday to France quite a bit as children, with my parents, and they used to put on, at the beginning of a long car journey, because we used to go there by car, they had sets of tapes of The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. I don't know if any fans of The Hobbit or The Lord of the Rings. Any fans of cassette tapes? Anyone remember what cassette tapes are? Okay. So they used to, I think there were about 10 cassette tapes in each set. So we used to set off, and they used to put in the first cassette tape, and it used to start off the story of The Hobbit. And I knew about the first 10 minutes pretty much off by heart, because I'd always listen to the first 10 minutes and then fall asleep and sleep through the rest of it. And then on the next holiday, we'd have to start with tape one again. And I'd be like, I never hear anything other than the first 10 minutes of tape one. I wasn't a big fan. You might be able to tell. Yeah, it probably was the idea, wasn't it? This kind of Two Kings reminds me a bit of The Hobbit, Lord of the Rings, because it's quite an epic, isn't it? It's an epic history of the Israelites, and things basically are not going well on a large stage, are they? It says in the introduction to it in the New Living Translation that 2 Kings relates to the sordid stories of the 12 kings of the northern kingdom, called Israel, and the 16 kings of the southern kingdom, called Judah. For 130 years, Israel endured the succession of evil rulers until they were conquered by Assyria and led into captivity in 722 BC. So it's like this meta history of kingdoms and battles and intrigue and violence. It's quite bloody and idolatry. There's a lot of ignoring God and going and seeking after other idols and other gods. And it's the leaders, the kings, who are setting this standard, setting the pace, living in this way. But against this backdrop of wars and battles and kings forgetting and not consulting the God of Israel, 2 Kings gives us the stories of the prophets and their encounter with ordinary people. There are scattered stories of people's everyday lives and their struggle to survive. And they remind me, as I read it, that it's ordinary people who suffer under bad leaders. And that in every epic history, there are countless ordinary people facing the challenges of the everyday. And it's all caught up in this account that we heard earlier, isn't it? There's loss, there's hunger, there's grief, there's debt, there's poverty, all things that we can relate to in our world today. So the widow is one of these ordinary people that we hear about against the backdrop of this epic history. And unlike a couple of books in the Bible where God's not actually mentioned, Song of Songs and Esther, but in this tale, God is writ large, isn't he? Through the prophets, both kings and the little people encounter God. To the widow, Elisha reveals a God who sees, cares, and works miracles to provide. And a few things came to me as I was reading this and preparing. It's a story about starting small. It's a story about speaking truth. It's a story about stepping out. And it's a story about making space. So first of all, it's a story about starting small. The widow is in a terrible situation, isn't she? Her husband, one of this group of prophets who hung out with Elisha, has died. And it's left her penniless. Creditors are at the door, ready to devour her and her family, taking away her sons at this time of grief. Defenseless, vulnerable, grieving, about to lose everything. And Elisha asks this question of her. What do you have? What do you have? Unsurprisingly, at first, she can only see what she doesn't have. She can only see her lack. I have nothing, she says, nothing at all. And then there's a turning point, a ray of hope, in one little word: accept. And I want to ask a question tonight. What is your accept? We live in a world that focuses on lack. Even when we're not lacking, the world tries to convince us that we are, so that we buy ever more things. But also, we can focus on our genuine lack, and it can take us to a place of feeling hopeless. Or maybe people in your life or people around you try and sort of focus on what you lack, not what you have, on what you can't do instead of what you can do. Look around at your life. What is your accept? The situation seems impossible. Accept. The world is in a mess. Accept. My friends face illness, bereavement, relationship breakdown. What can I do? It all seems so hopeless. Accept. And I want to say tonight that in everyone's life, because of Jesus, there is an accept. Amen. Accept, says the widow, I have one small bit of oil. And this is a story about speaking truth. Elisha helps the woman see what she has. The Bible is full of accounts of people discounting what they have and who they are as too little, too broken, too messed up. But right through the Bible, God actually seems to enjoy and take delight in taking what is considered weak and foolish in the world's eyes and using it for great things. It talks a bit about that in 2 Corinthians, but you can find it right through the Bible. The prophet's role here is in helping the widow look again at her life and helping her see possibility. Actually, there's a few things the widow has, aren't there? She's got the jar of oil. She's got some faith to approach Elisha. She's got her sons to help. She's got neighbours who would open the door to her and give her their empty jars. She's got a community. As God's person in this situation, Elisha helps the woman see beyond her lack to what she has. And this is a story about stepping out. I love that Elisha doesn't grab his staff, get a rock. There's always a staff and a rock when prophets are around, isn't there? Tap it and make it all flow out of it and just give it to her and then say, there you go, sorted. He doesn't fix things for her or do stuff to her. And in the field of like charity and health and social care, people have a few words for this. It's person-centered, it's asset-based, it's about empowerment. And that's what Elisha does. Elisha says to her, you go around. You ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Not just a few, as many as you can get. He starts with her where she is, and he shows her what she can do. He gives her the confidence to know what she can do. I wonder if she had any idea what the empty jars were going to be for. I wonder if she knew, I'm gathering these, God's going to fill them. Or I wonder if she thought, oh, this is so embarrassing. Like, I don't need empty jars. empty jars are not going to help me. And I wonder what her neighbours thought. Did they pity her? Did they think she's losing the plot? You know, she's actually having a breakdown because of what she's been through. She's asking for empty jars. She's not asking for help. But she was obedient, wasn't she, to a seemingly pointless or strange task. And Jesus did this a lot too. He asked people to do things, to take an active role in their healing or life change. Go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Go and present yourself to the priest. Grab those loaves and fishes. Let me come to your house for tea. Put your nets on the other side. Jesus asked people to do things, to step out. The Bible tells us to pray and have faith. And faith as a Jewish concept was very active. It was about stepping out, an act of faith. So are you asking God for something, to do something, to change something, to create something, to heal something, to renew something, to find something, to birth something, to give you something, to change you in some way. But just listen, because what's God asking you? What's God asking you? What we have or don't have doesn't affect God doing what he wants to in our lives. What we have or don't have doesn't affect God doing what he wants to in our lives. But what we give or don't give may. What the woman had or didn't have didn't affect what God was able to achieve in her life. But what she was willing to give, what she was willing to bring, did. And lastly, it's a story about making space. So she goes and she gathers the empty jars. And just as Elisha commands, she starts pouring the oil into the jars. And it goes on and on and on, filling jar after jar after jar, pouring and pouring and pouring. In fact, it was only when they stopped bringing jars that the oil stopped. I wonder if there's a case to say that it would have carried on. As much as she brought, God would pour, God would fill. And the only boundaries on God maybe are those that we put on him. Can you imagine the celebration, the amazement? God invites us to bring our need, our lack, our emptiness, along with what we do have, and lay it all before him. To step out and risk. And we make space in doing that for God to do what God does. I wonder if any of this rings true for you, because it does for me. This year, I've experienced loss and lack, but I've also experienced a God who fills my life with what I need. A God who brings Christian friends and family who pray for me even when I couldn't even pray. Except I discovered a God who actually wanted to speak to me through song lyrics, through circumstances, through my Bible notes and through other people, through a great counselor that I started going to. And I could see that this conversation God was having with me, because I was journaling all about it, so I could look back and I could see how God was speaking to me. I might have felt, I might have looked at my lack, but there was an accept. And the accept was that God loves me and wasn't going to let me go. That God was filling my emptiness and my hurt with the oil of his presence, his friendship, and his love. God, open our eyes to your accept in our lives. Remind us, show us, convince us that you're a God who sees and cares and acts. It's wonderful that you use our lack and our emptiness to bring your kingdom in the world. Help us never to look at our weakness or lack as an obstacle for you, but know that you're a great God, and if we bring you what we have and what we don't have, you can do amazing things in us and through us. Thanks be to God.